B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, February 4th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Overwatch League Season 2 is on the horizon. We'll tell you everything you need to know to get ready. Plus, it was a busy weekend in the NALCS and the National PUBG League. Those conversations are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today playing a little bit of catch up from the weekend. Joining me to break down their weekends is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
Smash.
Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
And yeah, I think Smash was what took up a majority of all of our weekends. We were talking about Genesis 6 the entire weekend.
Yeah. Such a great turn.
I have not seen our host chat that alive.
Reactions to an event.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Just reactions to individual matches.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's a whole lot of fun. And something that I really enjoy. And I think that's something that I want to extend into our Discord as well. Yeah. I want to get a bespoke channel to either talk about, you know, the weekend's events or you know, specific tournaments.
Almost
stuff like that. I don't know
calendar.
What to name it though.
I mean, no. It's just call it the weekend in esports.
I don't. But it's. I want it for events like, you know, even OWL discussion and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, as it's happening.
Live events.
Yeah, because those are on weekdays as well. So I think we need
live
to...
Live events might be better than,
we need live to events. Sit down and you know, kind of come up with some brainstorming around that. But Genesis 6 this weekend, some amazing Smash play on display.
And let me just say this right quick. I have never been so happy to see a group of people be so into like the FGC as I have to see you guys be excited for this, because that's the thing, man. When this popped off and Ultimate is out, and we say, hey, this is gonna be a big test for Ultimate, and you know
which
how
they
people,
pass with flying colors, by the way.
I cannot explain to you how huge it is for Smash to get over 100,000 on Sunday.
Listen, esports around the whole board was doing very well this weekend, especially when we're talking about going up against a game as big as what the NFL was producing. And yeah, I saw Genesis 6 at
150,000.
And this was for Melee. This wasn't even for Ultimate. This was for Melee that it was up to 150,000. Also, NALCS doing quite well.
150,000. And that's on Twitch. I mean, I don't even know what YouTube's numbers were like.
I was trying to keep track of the NPL stats, the National PUBG League stats. Those seem to come in quite a bit under, but they were spread out across multiple channels too, so it's a little bit harder to
track.
They were still over 50,000.
Over 50,000 for sure.
Which is for a week one.
Yeah.
We're talking about a week one league.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We're actually going to get a little bit deeper into that a little bit later on here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But Genesis 6 had some amazing matchups. What was your guys' highlight from watching Genesis 6? For me, it had to be watching Hungrybox and Plup. That was the match of all matches. That was so intense. I was into the storyline when they were throwing their headphones off because like the audio wasn't feeding to them anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is the most interesting match that I've ever seen. And you could tell, like, Hungrybox in that moment looked so challenged by Plup, right? Like, you could tell after maybe about the first or second round, like, he started really sweating.
Yeah.
His eyes were already sunken, but he looked like he had been playing Smash for 4 days straight. And I'm just sitting there rooting him. I mean, like, when you've got someone that invested, I was pulling for Hungrybox like a madman.
Yeah, for me, it was like seeing Axis run, too. Because he's using Pikachu in that sense, and it's like Pikachu is one of those off characters. Not a lot of people are using Pikachu in this tournament, and they don't in Melee. And his run moving forward and getting to that grand finals was amazing.
Oh yeah. Well,
and like, he was, there was one match where he's playing, I think it's Plup or Hungry Box, but he's playing him off the edge and he's just going back and forth off the edge, daring Xbox to come and get him. Yeah. I'm like, this is beyond anything I could do in Smash.
Oh, absolutely.
My favorite moment, rather than a specific match, it was actually watching with my brother, who's training to try to compete in Smash Ultimate.
Yeah.
And we're watching a match, I think it had Leffen in it, and I was just nudging him like, so you're going to compete at Frostbite later this month. You might go up against that guy.
Compete probably isn't the right word.
You're going to participate.
You're going to be there.
You're going to be there. You're going to participate. He's like, how does it feel knowing like this is the talent you're going to go up against? He's like, I'm going to get schooled. But I'm going to take a stock off of whoever I'm up against. That is the goal.
That's the goal.
Take one stock. I'm not getting three stocked.
Nice.
I dig that.
All right. I can definitely accept that.
Yeah. For me, it was watching Zach Ray, even though he obviously didn't go on to win a lot of it. They talked a lot about how he doesn't show any emotion, but every time a match would end, you saw that kid coming through. And when he did finally get knocked out, like, he put his face in his hands, like, you know, he was breaking up. When he comes up, he had this big smile on his face.
The monkey's off his back.
Well, yeah, at that point, but like, I have never seen someone feel so relieved after losing. But
Zach Ray was great to watch because, as the casters pointed out, his feet didn't even touch the floor.
15-year-old man.
15 years old and still extremely competitive. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone currently watching over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Chat activity dipping down a little bit, but I'm still watching you guys. Let's keep that up. I want to thank again everyone watching over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We're currently talking about what was going on over the weekend, mostly about Genesis 6, because man,
it was great.
Genesis 6 was definitely on everyone's radar this weekend.
It really showed that Smash Ultimate is ready to compete too. I mean, you're right, at its peak, Melee still was pulling in more people, but Smash Ultimate was competitive against Melee.
Well,
which
you have to remember, too, this was like Smash Ultimate's first.
It was
I was about to say,
debut.
By Evo.
Yeah.
By Evo, you're going to see by some Evo, serious competition.
Is this the last year of Melee?
No.
You don't think
no.
so?
See, no. It's
Norris, keep going. Norris talked to me about this earlier, and I think he's kind of convinced me. I don't think Melee is ever going to leave, truly. It'll get in the same vein that like Street Fighter 2 is still played today. There will always be a spot for
Melee. I'm saying in the way that it played out with Genesis over the weekend, right?
Is this the last year that Melee is the
is
dominant,
the dominant
one?
Is the
number
is
one?
The dominant Smash?
Yes.
Yeah, because I definitely saw enough competitiveness in the Ultimate bracket to be able to, I think, supplant the enthusiasm that has basically carried Melee on
and
for months
Ultimate
or
is,
years.
Unlike
rather.
Like Smash for Wii U, like Ultimate is just fun to watch. It's easy to keep track of and it's fun to view. Like the last couple Smash games have been kind of,
you know, I prefer to watch Ultimate over Melee. To be perfectly honest, I think the presentation is much better.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Because it has the extra stuff. You know,
well, you got the frames and. You know, the actual visual presentation is nice. For some reason, I was way more invested in the Melee.
Melee is more, you know,
More defined storylines.
Not
first
just
of all.
Not just that, but it's more technical in a sense. It's the more technical of the fighter because, you know, it's the very thin margins that separate people in Melee.
That's very true. Question, and this is kind of the end cap on Genesis 6, but, you know, Hungrybox has had a very dominant year in a couple of years in Smash.
He's won 4 of the last 5 majors.
Exactly. Yep. Does he deserve to be put into the pantheon of Smash gods?
Hungrybox is one of the Smash gods. Leffen isn't considered a Smash god.
Yeah. Really?
I think is a trend.
Well, see,
I got those two mixed up.
Yeah,
my
whole
bad.
Smash God pantheon is very weird on like how you actually get in or not, because a lot of people do consider Leffen and think he should be there because he has actually beat
one of those
all of the Smash Gods in major tournaments.
Mm. Yeah.
So not only was Genesis 6 going on, thanks to you guys, I had to acquire Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, all right.
And,
oh,
yeah, that's right.
No, I'm happy to say that Sarah was the one to actually sit and play it, but I watched.
We're not. Don't worry.
I'm getting to another point. While out, I also got to go through the used section at GameStop, which I haven't done in years now.
Okay.
I found a copy of The Last of Us Remastered for $16.
Nice.
Which was a nice pickup. Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age for like $24.
Also good pickup. Nice.
And Mass Effect Andromeda for $8.
That's about how much is worth.
And let me tell you something. I feel like $8 is the right price to pay to play this game. I'm looking forward to playing Andromeda.
That's not bad.
I got mine for $6.
Whoa.
Wow.
How'd you get yours for
Steam
$6?
On Origins, it was $6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is no good.
I thought you played it close to the release.
I did. So, I mean, I had originally, I have it for PlayStation 4
as well. I was about to say, I played it on release.
But I wanted everything like in one location, which is on Origin. I got Mass Effect 1 through Andromeda, all DLC, all add-ons, all weapon pack, and everything that's ever been made for like $35.
Either way, your weekend was better.
Oh, you got like a Humble Bundle thing.
I mean,
something like that.
Kind of, but it was basically just all on sale on Origin.
That's kind of impressive.
When it comes to video games, all you guys had a much better weekend than I did.
What did you do?
I had to play that Anthem demo.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I played Kingdom Hearts 3, so. I mean,
no, you watched.
I watched Kingdom Hearts 3.
All right.
Which is objectively worse.
And I really wish
I really wish
we had more time. But I'm going to say this. I was very, very excited to hate this game.
Anthem, you mean?
Anthem.
Yeah.
Because hate is interesting.
I really, really want it to be proven wrong. Because it's BioWare. And I want BioWare to succeed. It somehow found a way to do neither, which is significantly worse.
Yeah, it's just...
If this game...
It isn't bad, it's just mediocre.
If this game did not exist... Nothing would change.
Well, and listen, I know that this is the everyone's darling right now, the new Battle Royale game that just came out.
Apex Legends.
But I felt the same way about Titanfall. I was like, if that game never existed, like no one would lose out on anything.
Significantly worse than Titanfall.
Really?
Significantly.
I'm going to be interested to hear about that. Also, last new thing that I got new glasses.
You did? Look at you.
Yeah.
Rats.
New specs. Yeah.
I mean, the same prescription, so not super different.
Yeah, but, not super different, but still.
Nice.
I was a little bit concerned because the prescription had changed slightly that, like,
Just enough that it would give you a migraine?
Yeah, either give me headaches or like something would be weird like in front of computer screens or TVs.
Yeah.
No problem.
Oh, that's good.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How was your weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get an update on what's going on in the North American LCS and talk about the inaugural weekend of the National PUBG League. That's ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, with OWL Season 2 just around the corner, it's time for a season preview. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. One of the biggest and most polished presentations in esports, the Overwatch League is set to return next week with a total of 20 teams across the world.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really exciting looking at the Overwatch League and sort of its future trajectory, because with the LCS, this has become sort of the blueprint of really the future and the present of esports. And, you know, thinking about the OWL, I wanted to talk with you guys about, you know, the major storylines, what everybody can look forward to in this new season?
Well, I really, first of all, want to echo your sentiment, because I do think that the OWL has set a new high watermark and a high bar that now other esports organizations and other leagues are looking to meet that same quality.
You're talking as far as presentation goes.
Absolutely, okay, yes. Yeah.
Well, not just presentation, but even just the league structure itself. Guaranteed contracts, a possible players union in the future.
Profit sharing.
These are all things that almost the entire industry of esports can learn from.
Yeah, it is like the OWL is sort of setting the standard, and other leagues are kind of mimicking that, trying to see the same returns that the OWL has, because their first season was extremely successful.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I think the first thing, you know, when we're talking about the new season isn't necessarily the meta and all that stuff, is they're playing less games.
Yeah.
And that was one of the number one, you know, criticisms from the players to the league that they listen to. They say, hey, you're going to add more teams. We need to play less games.
It's such a win-win, because as viewers, we're actually going to be watching more games. But yes, granted, the players get to play less now, which is going to help on burnout. And I also think we're going to see a different level of play as well. When you have teams that only have to worry about playing once a week, yep, that's twice as much time they get to prepare for it. You know, there's been a lot of times where sometimes, you know, when we saw an upset, we were like, oh, you know what? I bet they were preparing more for the Dynasty than they were for the Shock. And, you know, you could tell in their preparation. I don't think we're going to run into that as much anymore.
Yeah, and in traditional sports, you usually don't have that dichotomy, right? Like, you all have a home stand where you may play the same team two and three times. Not necessarily as much in the NBA, but even the NFL, you play once a week, so that's who you prepare for.
That's what I said. It looks more like the NFL to me now, where even for your fan base, you get that whole week of build-up, like, all right, we're playing the San Francisco Shock at the end of the week. Like you get to build up instead of just what you get otherwise, where maybe it's like, okay, we've got two or three teams we're facing off this week, and you can't build any kind of fan animosity towards your soon-to-be opponent.
Exactly. And
speaking of the animosity, we are also going to have some road games this weekend, one of which will be Houston going against Dallas in Dallas. Oh, feels going to be so embarrassed.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, bad for them.
We're about to learn what home field advantage actually looks like.
That's fair.
Well, and I think that's important, because especially if this meta is exactly the same as it has been, that's going to allow Mickey, who's really sick on that Brigitte, to really dominate that match. So if that's what the meta is, then the fuel might pull it out.
Maybe.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston and The Horn 104.9 in Austin, Texas. We're currently going through our season preview of Season 2 of the OWL, making its grand return February 14th, Valentine's Day, and all of us are anxiously looking forward to its return.
And I think the next big question, obviously, is the expansion teams. Who out of the expansion teams are going to be the most successful? So obviously, you have the Vancouver Titans. Yeah. The Vancouver Titans. I just want to call them Runaway.
That's who they are to me.
Everybody's looking to them to be the team that says, you know what, they're going to come in, hit the ground running, and be successful. But, you know, according to Monte Cristo and a lot of the people on the inside, a lot of people are watching out for Hangzhou Spark. They're going to be a team that has a strong Chinese core that isn't going to have a lot of the language barriers a lot of the other teams had, and they're going to be standing behind Gu Shui, who might have been one of the best individual players in the World Cup over the summer.
What I'm going to be interested to see out of Vancouver, because this is a squad that has already spent a season together and is very well accustomed to working with one another.
Actually, they have about 2 years experience.
2 years? Okay, sorry. Two years. And I want to see how them coming into professional play,
yeah,
if that's just, you know, if they were able to elevate the level of contenders play, or if whether now they're going to be in the actual pros, if they're going to get raffle stomped, because I think that is a distinct possibility.
And I want to see the timer that's counting down, like, when is Shanghai Dragons going to get their first win?
Well, okay, you know what?
Who is going to give Shanghai Dragons their first win?
All right, let's show a little bit of respect to Shanghai, because only about three of the old squad remains at this point. And what they filled in the rest of their roster with is actually the runners-up to runaways from contenders. So the second-best contenders basically got shuffled into Shanghai,
right,
and they don't have that same language barrier that they did as a mixed Chinese-Korean team.
Exactly. And so that's really going to be another storyline everybody's looking forward to. But I personally am really looking forward to what Fissure's going to do in Seoul. The Korean teams, you know, they didn't necessarily perform up to the level that everybody thought they were. Everybody really thought this was going to be Seoul, London, NYXL, and everybody else was just going to kind of fall
off. By the end of the season, all of them were starting to slack a little bit.
Yeah, but London ends up becoming champion. NYXL ends up underperforming in the playoffs.
Right.
And Seoul didn't even make the playoffs. So now it's going to be the question of that those Korean powerhouses, who's going to be the top team? Personally, me, personally, I look at Seoul, I look at what they have, the experience, and adding Fissure, who is the best tank in the league. I really think they have a chance to move up to that top spot and have a shot. London is still going to be very good, but
how many changes did they make to their roster in the offseason?
I think they picked up Krillin.
They picked up two people, yeah. But their core is
still intact.
Yep.
Okay, then they're going to be extremely competitive.
They're going to be competitive, but it's just a matter of what's the meta going to look like,
yeah,
and who's going to be able to take advantage of that, and what team can sort of come out of that mist and really come at the Korean teams. Because if a couple of them start falling off early, you're going to see that top 3 to 5 spots really blow up, and it could be anybody's at that point.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is seeing, you know, esports are notorious for teams not maintaining momentum from season to season, who's good one year suddenly is bad the next year, or vice versa, with no real explanation as to why. Maybe the meta shifted, maybe a coaching change happened and they just started playing better, maybe they just have better communication. I'm going to be curious to see if that is true in Overwatch as it is in, you know, League of Legends or in Counter-Strike or in Dota. Will the teams that were good last year still be good, or, you know, are the Florida Mayhem going to suddenly be really good this year for
that
no
is
going
to be really
and
interesting
I think that is
watch,
a big
yeah.
one to see what teams will be able to pop up and sort of rise out of obscurity.
And I'm going
to
echo CC Decibels at our chat room over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. I want to see a Krillin Pwn counter on the overlay.
Yes,
listen,
please.
We want to hear from you. What are you looking forward to the most in OWL Season 2? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, it was a big weekend for the North American LCS and the NPL. That's the National PUBG League, if you are wondering. We'll give you all the latest ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Visit our website, our brand new, freshly redesigned website over at CheckpointXP.com. We've got a variety of podcasts that are available over there. There's, of course, the Checkpoint XP podcast, as well as Checkpoint XP Daily, a growing list of game-specific shows, like our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, as well as our brand new show for Fallout 76, Checkpoint 76, and our new show about comics and superheroes, The Other Identity. Subscribe and download at our website at CheckpointXP.com. Last weekend was a major one for esports. Not only was it the second weekend for the North American LCS, but it was also the inaugural weekend for the National PUBG League. We're going to give you all the latest in both leagues. So, Joe, let's start off with the latest in LCS.
Yeah, so there's really nowhere else to start except for Team Liquid. They are all alone in first place at 4-0.
Dominating.
They are scary.
They're so good.
Like we were talking about it earlier, everyone else looks like a team. They look like the big league team, like the major
league
team.
No, they do. And I've not seen Liquid look this ready. Almost like it's almost like they're preparing for Worlds now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
like, Double Lift and Core JJ are amazing in bot lane. Impact is pretty solid in top lane. Jensen. He's great. They might be on track to win their third consecutive split.
Wow.
Which would just be awesome. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got Golden Guardians, who are now 0-4.
Oh.
Dang it, Golden Grams.
They're
They're bad.
They're really bad.
Come on, Teddy Grahams. Get your act together.
They've taken 10th place.
The worse you do, the worse I'm going to mess up your name every time.
Dude, they might be on the verge of taking 10th place in their third consecutive split.
Do you think they can Shanghai it,
By the end of it, I'm going to be calling them Captain Crunch.
Yeah. Do you think they can Shanghai it, though? Do you think they can Shanghai Dragons it?
What? Not win
no
a game?
Wins.
No, they'll beat somebody. CLG will flop against them at some point, I'm sure.
But okay,
that's
but
your team.
No, but speaking of CLG, they just went 2-0 this weekend.
I mean, so that's the thing is FlyQuest is 3-1 after getting another backdoor win over TSM. This one, I know everyone's been hyping it up. It's like, oh my God, TSM got backdoored. All right, FlyQuest was dominating them. Yeah. I would not say that was like they happened to win technically on a backdoor, but yeah, whatever. They're 3-1, and then you've got the next six teams all clustered up at 2-2. CLG, what? How? How are they winning against anyone? 100 Thieves is 1-3. They're in ninth
place.
Yeah,
they're not looking so hot.
They won.
Give them a minute. Give them a minute.
They got to win because they played Golden Guardians.
Give them a minute.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really it for the second weekend of NALCS.
And Clutch was 0-2, which I didn't expect.
Yeah, Clutch after last week when we come on and say, you know what? Maybe look out for Clutch Gaming.
Nah, don't. Ignore them.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We just wrapped up talking about the NALCS, the second week in NALCS, but let's talk about the NPL, the National PUBG League. This was its inaugural weekend, and I have to say, I am so impressed from what I saw. This is a league that looked at everything that OWL did in its inaugural year and said, we want to do that. Ooh. Like, I think that everything from the stage design to their presentation has been influenced by a lot of what OWL brought to the table in their first season.
Well, even from the first team fight, you can see that the way that they go out the way that they go about presenting what you're seeing has completely changed. You know, when C9 took out EU in that first team fight, it was like I was watching a completely different game. They focused on that action. They showed you all the angles, and you could see the amount of strategy and teamwork that has to go into executing such a flawless fight.
Yep. Just that they highlight the bullets that fly past people now, and you can like, oh, okay, there's shots coming from that direction. I mean, it looks like you're firing a weapon from Halo or something.
Yeah, I really have to commend the developers from PUBG. They've really pinned down the caster tools that are necessary to present this at a professional level, and I really want to compliment the casting team who did an amazing job of just bringing out the natural narratives that were playing out between team fights. It was really, really easy to follow and alleviated all of my concerns that I've been expressing about Battle Royale games as an esport. It solved many of them.
All right, I'm going to just say this. The one thing that caught my eye is when a team wins and they have the AR, the augmented reality map that shows the path that they took to actually get to that final circle and win. I was just like, okay, that's unique.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the AR map is really cool. And then the other thing, the other production choice that they made that I absolutely loved is that when you're looking at a team, it's got a breakdown of each of the four players' cameras.
Yep.
And when one of those players has been eliminated, it's a red light that shines on them so that you know who's in and who's
still
out.
In the game,
It is just, it's a simple decision, but it was really, really brilliant.
You mentioned the casting, though, and friend of the show, Matrim, is one of the casters.
One of the casters,
great job. And, you know, as I was watching the second game that they did, it was on Miramar, and the way that they're kind of telling the story, they're talking, Endemic is in this with one player left. There's about 15 players left in the game. Endemic's got one player left, and they're kind of telling the story of, like the embattled final player of Endemic who's, like, just trying to get as high in the rankings. And then he goes on this miraculous run where he gets on top of the casino, and he's he ends up being the last man standing. He makes it all the way to the and takes the win for the team, and he gets like five kills in the final 30 seconds of the match.
Now that's amazing, because I want to talk about the way that this league is structured and the way that points accumulate, because that was really, really clutch, and I think one of the reasons why Endemic is so high in the rankings.
Yes.
So each kill is worth 1 point. First place, a chicken dinner, is 10 points.
Yep.
Second is 6, so quite a bit of a points discrepancy between between first and second place. Third is five. Fourth is four, et cetera, et cetera.
All the way down to, I think, we're eight, where you no longer
seven,
get points.
Seven and eight. No, seven and eight is one point.
You get 9 and down get no points.
That's right. The maps that are played in NPL are Erangel and Myrinmar.
Yep.
Circles 1 through 3 move faster, while circles 4 through 9 move a little bit slower.
This is such a good design choice.
It is a brilliant design choice. Also, loot has been, the loot tables have been changed slightly to accommodate for some of those timing changes.
Right, because what they've tried to do is they realize that the worst part of PUBG casting-wise is the first 5 minutes.
Right.
Where nothing much is going on and people are just looting. Now you have way less time to loot, so there's more loot to pick up, and we get into the action way quicker.
By the way, top 10 teams with the highest score after 5 weeks of competition move on to phase two in May. The bottom six teams transfer to relegation in the loser's bracket and battle their way out in 3 days of heats between March 22nd and March 24th. Mm-hmm. I think this is such a fascinating way for PUBG to do it. It really adds stakes, and really, you don't want to be in that bottom bracket.
No, and I like the fact that it has a relegation zone. It sort of gives an opportunity for some of the smaller teams that are going to be coming up through their contenders program to get a shot at the big leagues without necessarily needing a huge injection of capital.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to talk about is the numbers, the viewership that they were seeing, because at first we were really worried. We're like, oh no, they're struggling to crest 5,000 again, before we realized that we were watching on the wrong channel.
That's right. Yeah, it's spread out between
on the OGN channel.
It's on the OGN channel. It's on the Play PUBG channel as well. It's on a bunch of different channels.
They really should figure that out.
Yeah,
there should be one official channel.
I definitely agree.
That said, their viewership, they crested 50,000 viewers.
They did very well, yeah. I think for an inaugural weekend, especially up against so many other big esports events and traditional sports events, yeah, I think that they should be quite pleased with the numbers that they pulled down.
At the end of the day, are you going to watch next week?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to go out of my way to watch Contenders this week, too.
Whoa.
Wow.
I know, right? Listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think of the opening week of NPL? What about NALCS? Who you like in there? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news with Sarah Skopic. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.